The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Today is a trip report from my recent October trip to Disney World. That's coming up on this episode 61 of WW Press to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WWPrepSchool.com. Thank you so much for being here for episode 61. I am fresh off of a Disney World trip. I just got back a few days ago, and each night of our trip, I took my recording equipment and I recorded a couple minutes about how that day had gone. This trip was, I go to Disney World about four times a year, but this trip was remarkable in that it was sort of a, first of all, there were no children. This was my husband and me and another couple. And so it was an adults only trip. And we did some bucket list things, including the chef's table at Victoria and Albert's, which is the hardest reservation to get in all of Disney World. We did the Wild Africa Trek, which is at Animal Kingdom. We did Party for the Senses, which is part of the Food and Wine Festival. And we just had a lot of fun, and we did Universal. So you're going to hear about that today, and I'm going to play all the clips from every day of our trip, and so you can sort of see a day-by-day report. And then at the end, I'll have some sort of final thoughts about the trip, as well as a quick tip of the day. So I am just going to go ahead and dive in, and you will start to hear about our trip, obviously beginning with day one.
It is 1:27 a.m. on Thursday night, or technically Friday morning, and we've just gotten settled into our room at the Dolphin after a kind of a long day of travel. We had two legs to our flight today, and there were delays involved. The second flight had somebody on the plane that was a reader, so I sat next to her and talked to her about her trip, and she had lots of questions. And so that made the flight go by really quickly, and I was really antsy to get here, so I was excited to have her to talk to and pass the time. When we got to the Orlando airport, everything went smoothly. It doesn't always go smoothly. I've had 45-minute delays before waiting for our baggage to appear on the baggage carousel. But today it just took a few minutes. We are trying a new car service this time, and the company is Interplex, and it's not a limo or a town car. It was actually a Mercedes van. So it was very nice, very roomy, plenty of space for our bags and even more people if we had had them. And the driver was very knowledgeable, which I appreciated, because in the past I've had drivers that made stuff up. And that kind of frustrates me, thinking that they're lying to other people and telling them nonsense about Disney World. But anyway, that was all great. And we got to the Dolphin, and really great first impression of not only the lobby, but the rooms. We've actually seen the hotel before because we visited it, but this is our first time in the rooms, and we are liking it so far. We have a great balcony that overlooks the boardwalk, and lots of space for all of our things, and it's great so far. So our alarms are set for 7 a.m. because, as usual, we will be at the Magic Kingdom for park opening. So that we'll be at the bus stop by 8, and I look forward to that, but I need to sign off so I can get some sleep before that. I'll be back tomorrow to tell you about our first full day in the parks. It is around 11:30 p.m. on day two. This is our first full day in the parks, and we are exhausted. So as always, our day started with being at the bus stop at 8 a.m. However, the Magic Kingdom bus took a little bit longer to pick us up than I would have liked. So when we got to Magic Kingdom, we were certainly, you know, in the front group to go in, but we were a little bit more towards the center than we were towards the entrances. I like to be in the first few rows to go in so that whatever we're trying to do first, we are not not behind everyone. But you can't always control that because you don't know when the buses are going to come. So our first goal was to go to Seven Dwarfs Mine Train because I did not ever get a Fast Pass Plus for that because I didn't book them 60 days in advance. So we headed straight there and waited about 15 minutes, which isn't too bad considering that the wait later in the day was about 90 minutes. However, I'm not really used to waiting much. And so I immediately sort of had a disappointment that set in because several of the things that we did in the morning were about that wait. We had about 15 minute wait on that and on Peter Pan's flight and on a couple of different things. But our friends thought that we weren't really waiting for much of anything. And when I posted on the Facebook page how much we had accomplished in the morning, a lot of people thought that was pretty amazing. So I guess it's all relative. I'm just not used to waiting. But certainly it is busy because this is a holiday weekend where people have work and school off. And it happened to also be hot. So that sort of made it complicated. I was a little bit disappointed, but we ended up accomplishing quite a bit. We stayed until the afternoon parade had finished. We watched from on top of the train station at the front of the park. I happened to run into a listener named Courtney. Hello, Courtney. And we watched with her family. She caught my eye because her family had such great shirts on that were so creative. And then she happened to figure out who I was. And we ended up chatting and watching the parade together. So I'd still recommend that spot for the Festival Fantasy Parade. Not only is it shaded, but it is elevated so you can see the big tall floats better. And then when the parade is finished, you can make a choice. If you're going to exit the park, you can exit before the big, you know, throngs of crowds. Or if you are going to continue in Magic Kingdom, you can usually catch the train because you're already at the train station to another part of the park. However, the train station right now, the train is closed through November 8th. So that wasn't a choice for us, but it didn't matter because we needed to leave. We were tired because we only got a few hours of sleep the night before. We took a break at the hotel and then had a dinner reservation at Epcot. We ate at Le Cellier and it was, as usual, fantastic. The combination of moose head beer and cheese soup and pretzel bread and filet mignon is just fantastic. Love it, love it, love it. Used to be much more difficult to make a reservation there. It no longer is nearly as hard. It's fairly easy to get in. The biggest challenge there is if you're on the dining plan, it is 2 table service credits for lunch and dinner. But if you're paying out of pocket, I think it is completely worth it. And if you're on the dining plan, you would maybe have to think about it, but love it. Spent the rest of the evening strolling the World Showcase, taking pictures at night because the night view is much different than the day view. And Epcot happened to be up until 10 o'clock, which I think is common during the Food and Wine Festival. So we finally headed back and we are now settled in and getting ready to go to sleep. We have a 6 o'clock alarm set for tomorrow morning because we are headed to Animal Kingdom for the Wild Africa Trek. So I'll be back tomorrow for that, and I can't wait to tell you all about that. Day 3, our second full day in the parks, did start very early. We had caught a cab from our hotel at 7 a.m. to Animal Kingdom so that we could be there for the Wild Africa Trek. It doesn't start until 8 a.m., but it's at the back of the park near where Safari is. It's right next to where the Safari is. So you have to be at the front of the park by 7:30, and then they take you back, and then you get started. So the guide said that we were the first group he's ever had during the Wild Africa Trek that were all there early when he came out to greet us. So we were a good group. And so he took us back to the back of the park. We were let in around the same time as the people who were eating Tusker House breakfast. I think sometimes people are allowed in early, but they were just still doing some things in the parks and didn't want us to go in. It was a fantastic experience. Spoiler alert. We absolutely loved it. It was one of our favorite things we've ever done. I will go into more detail when I write about it, but basically there are different components to it where you get to get closer to the animals than normal and you're safe and tethered in with a carabiner and get to climb rope bridges. And there's a portion where they take you to this, like, this treehouse sort of thing, this structure that's sort of out in the middle, and they feed you. They call it a snack, but we called it a full meal. It was delicious food, and we treated it as brunch. And we got our own private safari, basically. We were on the same paths as the safari vehicles from the Kilimanjaro Safari ride, but we got a chance to pull over, take pictures, and so it was sort of, you know, at a more leisurely pace, and we got a good opportunity for pictures. The
the guides also take your pictures. And so we have those that we can download as part of the package. And it was just a fantastic experience. The downside to doing that Wild Africa trek in the morning was that once we got out, the park was packed. And so then I had to try to figure out how to navigate the park and the rides. Like, we had some FastPass Plus reservations made, but everything else was just such busy lines. And normally we would do those things right when the park opened. But I still don't regret going for the 8 a.m. Wild Africa trek because the temperatures were still nice then. Midday was very, very hot. So the Wild Africa trek would have been more difficult. The downside was just that we had long lines at Animal Kingdom and we were back and forth and just all over the place. It was messy. Luckily, we're four adults, and so it's easier to pull that off than if you have kids and, you know, cranky people. So it ended up okay. We got lots done at Animal Kingdom. We got back to our hotel room for a short break, and I met up with Cheryl, the travel agent that I work with, and some of her coworkers at an event that they had at the beach club. And then we headed, all our whole group, headed to Epcot for a party for the census. Now, we thought we were being prepared by being there around 7, maybe a few minutes after 7. The event starts at 7:30, and we had talked to someone the night before who had been there, and she suggested that that worked really well for her. So we got there, and lots of people were already there. And they don't open the doors officially until 7:30, so everyone's just gathered in this waiting space. I mean, I don't know how many people, but a couple of hundred at least. And we were all just waiting. And as soon as they opened the doors, we all sort of ran into this huge room, huge, 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 much bigger than I ever imagined. And the problem with our tickets was that we had general admission, not reserved seating. And that's because I called a few hours after the tickets went on sale and the reserved seating had already been purchased. I didn't know, nor did a lot of people know that I spoke to, that reserved seating would sell out so quickly. And I don't necessarily think it does for all dates, but this is a busy weekend because it's Columbus Day weekend. So the parks are busy. Lots of people are here. Anyway, we knew that we had to find a table or else we would be standing for hours. And we were already just exhausted from having to walk all day that we really wanted a table. So it took us a while to find one, but by some miracle, we spotted one that wasn't being used. If I were to do it all over again, I would not do Party for the Senses unless I had reserved seating, because the idea that we would be standing for hours eating and drinking is just not appealing to me. And it felt kind of crazy to run through this beautiful dining space and hope that we could get a little table for us. But the actual food and drinks were delicious. It was just sort of this crazy atmosphere of food everywhere and drinks everywhere. And we had just out of order. We had dessert first, and then we had meats, and we had so many different kinds of drinks. And I mean, I don't know. It was beautiful. It was so much good food. It was just sort of chaotic and crazy and beautiful and fun all at once. There were Cirque du Soleil acts on the stage, and the reserve seating had a better view of them as well. So that's another good reason to have reserve seating. We were sort of on the side and could only catch it only peripherally. So anyway, interesting event and beautiful, but I would do it differently if I were to go back. We did leave there and go watch Illuminations on the Water and then make it back to our hotel. So it was sort of an overdose of awesome on one day because we had so much good stuff packed in. So anyway, that is it for them. We have plans tomorrow for Hollywood Studios and the Chef's Table. So we'll see how that goes tomorrow. And day four of our trip. So today's plan was to wake up and go to Hollywood Studios for part of the day and then come back and get ready for the Chef's Table, which sort of happened except without me. I woke up in the middle of the night very, very sick. And so the rest of our group went ahead and went without me, and I rested. I was very nervous about being so nauseous and not being able to make it to the Chef's Table because this was sort of one of the goals for the trip, was to be able to do that. So I stayed and tried to get healthier and stronger and get over the nausea, and felt pretty strong by the time we had to get dressed. So we all headed to the Chef's Table around 4 o'clock because Chef's Table starts around 5, which is much earlier than most dinner reservations. But we showed up to the Chef's Table at the Grand Floridian, and we were there for about 4.5 hours. And it just, it met all expectations. It's a very expensive meal, but well worth it, at least to try once. And there are 10 courses, and you can optionally get wine pairings. I had been warned that I might not be able to eat all the food, and I should sort of only eat part of the food as it came out. But as it turned out, I ate all the food. It was really good. We did split a wine pairing between my husband and me, and that seemed to work out really well for us because it is a lot of wine. But just fantastic service, fantastic food, amazing. I'll have a full review up on the site because there are so many pictures to share and details about every course and about the experience in general. So highly recommended, big bucket list item. It was for me. And due to the cost and the difficulty in getting the reservation, I think that it is sort of a maybe once in a lifetime opportunity. So anyway, more information on that. Tomorrow we are headed to Universal. We're going to try to do both parks, or at least the highlights of both parks, including Diagon Alley, which none of us have done before. So we're off to do that bright and early, and I'll have that tomorrow. Today was the fifth day of our trip and the fourth day in the parks, and we went off site. We, at 7 o'clock this morning, caught a cab out in front of the Dolphin and headed to Universal. The goal for this trip was to do the Harry Potter sections of Universal. We were traveling with people that had not seen that before, so any other rides that we got to do were a total bonus. So we left at 7 o'clock and we headed right to Gringotts, which is in the new Diagon Alley section, and it is so impressive. It is an amazing area. The Gringotts ride was really fun. The posted wait time is always inflated. I think it said 60 minutes for us, ended up being about 30. But when I say it's always inflated, I don't mean just for us, but I've been following along on Twitter before our trip just to see what other people had observed. And that seems to be pretty standard. So definitely want to head to Gringotts first because the newest thing is always going to have the longest lines. And that does not offer an express pass. So it's good to do it right away. But the whole Diagon Alley section is amazing. It's much bigger than the Hogsmeade section at Islands of Adventure. And it is immersive and amazing. And really, the whole rest of the park pales in comparison to the new area. They have really done a great job with it. So after doing several rides at Universal, we took the Hogwarts Express, which is in itself an adventure. I really didn't expect more than a train ride, but it is a ride all unto itself. And so we headed to Islands of Adventure. We, of course, did the Harry Potter, the Hogsmeade section over there, including the ride, which is incredibly nauseating for a lot of us. And we ate at Mythos, which is a great restaurant. And I made the reservation only 30 minutes beforehand on my phone. And that's a big difference between Disney World and Universal, is you can make last minute reservations. Universal dining reservations are made through the OpenTable app, or just through their website using OpenTable, which is a common thing a lot of restaurants do, but it's what Universal uses as well. So that was great. And it allowed us to get seated fairly quickly and have a reasonably priced meal. We did a couple rides at Islands of Adventure and then decided to call it a day, come back to our hotel and rest before heading out to eat and drink around the world. So after a nap, we went to Epcot in the evening. We ran into a reader named Cindy. So Cindy, if you're a podcast listener, hello. And as we ate and drank through the World Showcase, I had a personal rule, which was to only stop at the food and wine kiosk that did not have countries already established at Epcot. And for me, that's because I have eaten at most of the countries in the World Showcase, and so I wanted to try new things. So we did. We ate the stuff from South Korea and New Zealand and Belgium and all these different places that wouldn't normally have food at Epcot. And so it was a great time trying out all different kinds of food and drinks. Most of the locations have a suggested food and drink pairing. And that's what I actually went with most of the time, just so I could try out the combination that they suggested. And so it was a great evening at Epcot. And of course, Illuminations was at the end of the night, and we headed back to our hotel. Tomorrow is unfortunately checkout day, but we are going to begin it with Epcot. This trip, we spent three evenings in Epcot, which I really love. If you're going to stay at an Epcot area resort,
not spending time at Epcot is a shame because it's right there. It's within walking distance. But tomorrow morning will be our first daytime. And so we will actually fit in the rides during that period of time. But at around 3:30, we'll be picked up to go to the airport. So that's the sad part. But before that, we've got about 7 hours of park time that we can do to fit in the rest of Epcot. So I'm looking forward to that. And then we will be headed out. So I'll have more on that tomorrow.
Our final day, we woke up and got our rooms packed because it was departure day. But before departing for the airport, we decided to spend some time at Epcot because our pickup car was not coming until around 3:30 in the afternoon. So we started off by packing up the room and then heading out to Epcot, which was having extra magic hour morning. And since we were in the boardwalk area, we got to just walk over there and walk right in. And we rode some things, including Test Track right away and Spaceship Earth and, you know, lots of different things. We did end up having to wait at Turtle Talk with Crush, which I think is really crazy. You used to be able to arrive in the morning to see Turtle Talk with Crush and get right on. But this time we waited for two full shows before we got on. The people with FastPass Plus reservations, of course, got right on and were guaranteed a showtime. And so I think that FastPass Plus is sort of changing the way things are working on a lot of rides. I think Turtle Talk is one of those attractions where because people have pre-booked, they are going to take priority. And so it might behoove you at Epcot where there aren't, you know, it's not like there's a lot of competition for tier two FastPass Plus reservations. So I sort of like Turtle Talk as a good option for Epcot. Just having seen all the FastPass Plus people walk in and having waited through a couple, and it didn't used to be like that. But anyway, so we rode Soarin'. We ended up, after exploring Future World for a while, we decided to spend our last couple of hours in the World Showcase. Our previous times at the World Showcase and doing the Food and Wine Festival booths have been in the evening, and it was quite nice, but today it was so, so hot. It was in the middle of the day. Sun, the World Showcase just is kind of brutal most months of the year if you go during the day because there isn't a lot of shade. It's just hot. But we wanted to visit the last few booths that we had not visited yet, including the Puerto Rico booth, which has delicious food, pick up a few souvenirs as we strolled through the countries. And then by the time we exited to go back to our hotel, we were just exhausted and hot. I especially was. I get really cold on airplanes, so I was dressed in layers, including jeans and a short sleeve shirt. I had a long sleeve shirt that was tied around my waist. And, you know, I was prepared for airplane weather, but I was in the hot World Showcase. So that's always a downside of departure day, is just trying to figure out how to dress and pack your bags so that you can tour the park and be comfortable on the trip home. But anyway, we finally got picked up. We used a company called Interplex for our transportation. I really enjoyed them. This is our first time. They're very professional, on time. I really, really like them. That was something that has been missing for us in previous times. I've hired car services many times, and this company was just much more reliable and professional. So I really liked Interplex for that. We got home, and it was a direct flight. And if you have never heard of the Wright Amendment, it prevented Southwest Airlines from flying direct from Texas to other states, except for the states that were touching it, bordering it. So this was as of October 13th, the Wright Amendment had been lifted, and that happened during our trip. So our flight to Florida had a layover in Houston. Our flight back was direct. And so people on the plane were clapping. It was very exciting. And so now future flights are going to be much more convenient for us. So anyway, that was the end of a very hot day, but it's really good to be home and to finally be able to see my son, who usually goes on trips with me, but this time he stayed back. So anyway, overall, great trip. Glad that we got to go, but also happy to be home. So there you have it. That was the audio that I recorded after each day of our trip. And I sort of like being able to listen back to that too, as sort of a trip report and some details that I'd forgotten already after being home. And that's actually something I recommend if you're going to do a trip report. Please do it right away so you don't forget the little details, because they are hard to remember later. And it's hard to remember what did we do and what order and you know, the funny little stories that happened throughout your trip. So you probably inferred sort of some of my thoughts as you listen, but I just want to sort of recap that. We really liked staying at the Dolphin. This was my first time staying in a non-Disney World hotel. And I was a little bit nervous about it because I am so used to being in the Disney bubble and always being in the Disney hotels. And I was just not sure how I would like it this time, but I actually did like it. There were a couple things that I missed being able to do, and that included things like charging to our room and being able to check into our airline, including our bags at our resort, which is so convenient because you don't have to haul your bags to the airport because they're done right at your Disney resort. We couldn't do that at the Dolphin. They don't give you magic bands. I have a magic band because I'm an annual pass holder, so that was not an issue for me. But for other people, including our friends that we were with, they bought magic bands. You know, it's a missing piece, so it's an extra step that you have to do to go buy those. I did enjoy a few things there that you can't do at Disney Resorts. One was late checkout. Perhaps Disney World Resorts do allow later checkout sometimes, but I have personally not had a lot of luck. Every time I have requested it, they have told me that I couldn't stay past 11 or 12. And the Dolphin is willing to work with you a bit more on that. It's also nice to be able to pay lower prices or use points to stay there because you're essentially paying for a deluxe resort because it's a nice hotel and it's located right on the boardwalk amongst the other Disney World deluxe resorts. And so it's nice to be able to do that. We paid a reasonable rate. Our friends ended up paying with points. So you can't do that at a Disney World resort very easily. It was also nice to have taxis always available. And they are stationed outside the front of the resort 24/7. At a Disney World resort, you can use taxis, but you have to schedule them ahead of time. So it's not quite as spontaneous to be able to just say, hey, I'm going to grab a taxi real quick. But at the Dolphin, you can do that. So I love the Dolphin. In terms of all the different special events we did, I loved all of them. However, Party for the Senses was the least impressive of all the special things that we did. If I were to do it again, as I mentioned, I would just make sure we had reserved seating for that. But I enjoyed all of the items that we did, Wild Africa Trek, the Chef's Table, all that. And really, they lived up to my expectations for sure. What else? I was disappointed overall by the crowds and the heat, but we can't do anything about the heat. The crowds were shocking to me. I knew Columbus Day weekend and the days surrounding it would be busy. However, I think fall breaks in many school districts have become a big factor. And so I think this time of year is becoming sort of like a second spring break. I mean, it's a fall break, but we have never equated fall breaks with big crowds. And I think that is changing. And so I'm going to do some work to sort of look into that and compare school calendars and see if the crowd calendars need to be adjusted accordingly. In fact, our own spring break trip in March was much easier to do than this trip was. Our spring break happens to be the second week of March, which is pretty early. And we had mild temperatures and very moderate crowds. And this to me was very high crowds and just coincidentally had also really hot temperatures. So the combination of those things were a bit disappointing to me. And you cannot really, I cannot emphasize enough how much the heat is a factor. We were exhausted. Even though there were four adults, we took breaks or naps every single day. But on trips where I've been when the temperatures were cooler, certainly getting off your feet for a while is necessary. But when you're not sweaty and you're not constantly waiting in the heat, it is a totally different feel. So that's always something to look out for. So anyway, I hope that's helpful. I'll be starting writing this week about all the different events, and I have so many pictures and so many details to share. So be sure to look for that. If there's any particular event that you wanted more information about, that will be coming up. So look for that. I think that's going to wrap it up, but I do have a quick tip of the day before we do. My quick tip of the day is to take screenshots of the information that you have in My Disney Experience. And the reason for that is not just because in the past I've recommended it because my Disney Experience app was glitchy and sometimes things would be lost or it wouldn't say Fast Pass Plus were there. It still does that sometimes. But the second reason for doing that is because you don't always have connectivity when you need it. So if you are inside Pirates of the Caribbean, which is a building, and the connection is not great, then having a screenshot on your camera roll is much easier reference than opening the app and relying on it to connect to the internet. So my quick tip of the day is to take screenshots to have as a reference later on when the internet is not available. So I hope that is helpful. I think that will wrap up this episode of WW Prep to Go. For more information on this show, you can visit wwprepschool.com/episode 61. That is the number 61. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.